Thank you, choir. Kathy? Beautiful day out there, isn't it? Everybody, I'm sure, enjoyed yesterday. Maybe you got to start off the spring like I did yesterday. I got out yesterday, and I was really going to get things done in the yard yesterday. Well, couldn't mow the grass because my tractor broke down. So I thought, well, I'll just break up a little place and pay out some tomatoes, and rototillers broke down. So I said, well, I have got some logs down there. Trees fell I need to cut, and I thought about that, and I thought, nah. So I just went and gave my chainsaw away to my son-in-law. So I did pretty good yesterday. I got absolutely nothing done. Everything's broken, and I can sit there and look at it for a while. But it is beautiful weather. It's coming, and I'm so thankful for this. The Lord has blessed us so much. If you would turn your Bible this morning to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to study your word today. And Father, we pray that as we look at this, that we might see how important it is that we serve you, how important it is, Father, that our presence is made there in the church. And Father, we just pray that you'll speak to our hearts, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Look down at verse 19. And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And he saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins that ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins that ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. I want to talk to you this morning about where was Thomas? What did Thomas miss when Thomas wasn't there? You know, now this is the first service that we've had today, our worship service on Sunday, after Easter, after the resurrection of Jesus. And what we read about there in the scripture is the first service that they had after the resurrection. The disciples have gathered there in the upper room. It said they were afraid. I mean, Jesus has lost his life. He's been crucified. Threats have gone out to all of the others. And so they're very fearful. And so they're hiding in the upper room to come and to have a worship service. And then all of a sudden, it says that something happened. Something happened. Now, all the disciples were there. When they called out the roll, everybody answered here, Thomas? No answer. Thomas wasn't there. Where was Thomas? What could Thomas have been doing that was more important than to be in God's house? What could he be doing more important than together with those people who gathered there at that first church to come together to worship the Lord? Maybe his uncle came in from Bethany and he had to stay home and fix lunch. Maybe he had a headache. Maybe he had plans for the afternoon and he didn't get back in till late. What was it? What was his excuse? Isn't it amazing the excuses that we have for not attending church and the excuses we have for not serving God? You know, a few years ago, the Kingsmen had a song out, Excuses. And I'm not going to sing it to you. I will guarantee you that. But listen to these words of this song right here. This is why people weren't coming to church. Well, because in the summer it's too hot, and in the winter it's too cold. The springtime, when the weather's just right, well, there's someplace else to go. Up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit with old friends. Or just stay home, relax, and hope that the kin folks might drop in. Well, the church benches, they're too hard, and the choir sings way too loud. And boy, you know how nervous you get when you get in a great big crowd. Now, the doctor told you now, watch those crowds, they'll set you back. But you go to an old ball game because it helps you to relax. Well, a headache on Sunday morning and a backache on Sunday night. But by work time Monday morning, everything's going all right. Now, when one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? The whole family stays home just to blow that poor kid's nose. The preacher, he's too young, or the preacher, he's too old. The sermons, they're too hard, or maybe they're too bold. He says his voice is much too quiet. Sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or else he's way too proud. The sermons, they're too long, or maybe they're too short. He ought to preach with dignity and not just stomp and snort. The preacher has got to be the world's most stuck-up man. Why, one lady told me the other day, he didn't even shake my hand. You know, I've heard every one of those excuses, believe it or not, when you go and visit people who are not in the church. Every one of them. And you know, maybe you're guilty of some of those, but we can make excuses, can't we? You know, the greatest excuse I ever heard for not coming to church was a lady told a pastor one time, she said, well, pastor, you know, I have a special thing why I don't attend church. He said, is that right? Said, yes. You know, I only live one block from the church. He said, yes, I understand that. She said, well, I'm too old to walk, and that's just too short to start the car up and drive. So I guess, you know, you can always come up with one somehow or the other. Where was Thomas? Thomas wasn't there. Thomas was out doing something, whatever it might be. But Thomas wasn't in the sermon. So what did Thomas miss when he wasn't there? You see, when you miss the services and you're not in God's house, there's always something that you can miss. Well, Thomas missed some things that night when Thomas didn't show up for the service. We're going to look at some of those things. First thing he missed was he missed the presence of Jesus Christ. In that 19th verse, it says, and the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, this is on Sunday, they're now worshiping on Sunday. Previously, it had been on Saturday, but after the resurrection, it is on Sunday. He says, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. He stood in the midst of them. Jesus is in the service. Isn't it great when you can just feel Jesus in the service? Isn't it great when you can feel the Holy Spirit who's working in a service and the Holy Spirit is convicting people about their need and to make decisions for the Lord? Isn't it great to just know that Jesus is there? You see, you really can't worship without Jesus in the service. If just you and I came and I got up here to preach and you sat out there to listen and to take part, and without Jesus in the service, you really can't worship. So Jesus comes, and Jesus stands right in the middle of them, there it said. With Jesus in the service, though, boy, it makes a difference, doesn't it? You know, with Jesus in the service of a church, there is nothing that a church can't do. There is nothing that a Christian can't do. You and Jesus are always a majority. When you have Jesus in your heart and he is with you, you can face whatever it is that comes along. It doesn't matter. You can face up to those problems. And Thomas missed it. Jesus was right there. Thomas is later going to say, I've got to see proof to know it. Well, if Thomas had been there that night, Thomas would have known it. So the second thing that Thomas missed was the proof he was looking for. Look on down there at verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He said, here's my hands. He had the nail prints in his hand. He had the place in his side where the spear went in as he hung on the cross. And Thomas is later going to say, I just don't believe this, guys. I don't believe Jesus is resurrected. And the only way I'm going to believe it is see the nail prints in his hands and the place in his side where the spear went in. And if Thomas had been there, what would he have seen? The nail prints in his hand and the place in his side where the spear went in. Jesus is alive. He's alive. And we've got to realize that today, and I know that you do. We celebrated that last week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is not just alive because the tomb was empty. I mean, there's lots of things that could have made the tomb empty. Jesus is alive because he lives in our heart. He lets us know he's alive. He's walking around in this world. I know that he is living no matter what anybody might say because he lives within my heart. And you know that. You see, the empty tomb is not the great argument for the resurrection. The great argument for the resurrection is that Jesus Christ is alive today, that he's in our worship service today, that he's there to meet the needs of our heart, and we can feel his presence. That is the argument for the empty tomb. That is the argument for the resurrection, to let us know that Jesus Christ is alive. You never experience Jesus secondhand. Did you ever notice that? God has no grandchildren. No grandchildren. He has a lot of children, the children of God, those who accept Christ as Lord and Savior. But he doesn't have any grandchildren because everybody that accepts him becomes his child. You can't have Jesus second hand. Thomas missed the proof of what Jesus had done. Thomas also missed the peace. If you look in that 21st verse, and then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Peace, he said. I'm bringing you peace. That's my Father, he says, has sent me. I'm coming to bring a peace. Now, that wasn't just a greeting that Jesus gave it. That was a greeting in that day. As the people would pass on the street, they say, "Peace unto you, peace unto you." You know, that was a greeting. Like we say, "How are you?" But they probably didn't listen any more than we do. "How are you?" "Well, I'm dying. I'm having a heart attack. And, you know, the wife died yesterday and I lost my job." "Well, hey, that's good. We need to get together." We don't pay any attention to greetings, do we? We just put them out there. And then whatever said or whatever we said, nobody really listened. Jesus is coming and he's not just greeting them. Jesus is saying, "I'm bringing you a peace that can only come from me. I have the peace that overcomes the world," he said. "I don't just have a peace that I come that's some kind of a sham and some kind of a mockery, but I have a peace that overcomes the world." You know, you could be the wealthiest person on the face of this earth and give every penny that you had trying to buy peace, and you can't buy peace in your life. That's one thing that money is never going to be able to buy, and that is to buy peace. You could give all of your money trying to get it, but the only way you're ever going to get it is to give of yourself. And when you give yourself to Jesus, then all of a sudden you find the peace that is there. The peace. Thomas missed it there. You know, some of you may have been watching the series The Bible on television. It's been on Sunday. And I saw the other last week. We didn't have service, and I think they read two or three of them. Anyway, I sat there and watched some of them. And you know, Stephen, it showed Stephen in there, Stephen being stoned to death there. And you know, the Bible says that Stephen had a look upon his face that he looked like an angel while they're throwing rocks at him. He looked like an angel while he's, why? Because he had a peace. He knew exactly where he was going. He looked up into heaven, and the heavens opened up, and there stood Jesus beside the throne standing, and Stephen saw him. You see, that's the peace that we can have. It's the kind of peace that Paul and Silas had as they were there in the jail in the stocks. They weren't moaning and groaning. They were there singing praises unto God in the jail, in the dark, in the stocks, being persecuted, and singing praises unto God. That's the kind of peace that Jesus said, "I'm bringing to you." Do you have that? Thomas missed it. He said, "I'm bringing you this peace." Thomas wasn't there to get it. And then he goes on, Thomas missed God's plan. In that 21st verse, it tells us, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." That's God's plan. God's plan. What is God's plan? God's plan is that we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that we then, as the Father has sent me, so send I you, Jesus, and then that we go and we tell others about the plan. That's hard to do, isn't it? It really is. And I know most of us are very hesitant about really getting out and telling people about this in our life. I heard a story about the monk that was in the monastery, and the abbot came to him one day, and he told him, he said, "You know, next Friday, you got to preach." He said, "I can't preach." "You got to. Next Friday, be ready." Next Friday, he comes up before the group. He's nervous as can be. He's studied. He looks out, and he says, "How many of you know what I'm going to say?" Everybody put their hand up. He said, "Good, no need me saying it." And he went over and sat down. The abbot said, "That's not going to work. That's not it. You're scheduled to preach next Friday again." He works all week long. He comes in next week. He gets up there and he looks out. They'd all got together and talked, and he said, how many know what I'm going to say? Nobody raised their hand. He said, I don't either. And he went over and he sat down. The abbot said, that's not going to get it. You're going to have to preach. Third Friday, he comes in. He says, how many of y'all know what I'm going to say? Well, they got together. One side raised their hand, and the other side over here, the audience, kept theirs down. He said, good. Those of you know, tell those who don't know. And he went over and he sat down. You know, that's kind of the way we look at it, isn't it? But that's not what God intended. Not at all. God intends us to share. He intends us to tell about Jesus. And Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I've come now to meet with you guys. I've come to show you that I am the resurrected Savior, that I am the Messiah, and I've come to give you a message that you can carry out and that you can carry to a lost world. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You see, God's plan is that we reveal that to the world. We are God's interpreters. You see, the world doesn't speak spiritual. We speak spiritual. So we have to take the spiritual and interpret it to a world that doesn't speak spiritual. I read the story this week about the sheriff down in Texas, and he had a guy in Mexico, a Mexican bandit, and he just kept coming over and robbing the banks there in Texas. And he'd rob the banks, and he'd rob them. Finally, the sheriff got enough. He said, I'm going after you. He crossed over the border, and he went down in Mexico. Sure enough, he came to the cantina, and here's the guy. He pulls out his gun, points it at him, and he says, listen, if you don't tell me by the time I count to 10 where all the money is, I'm going to shoot you right here. The bandit didn't understand English. He said, no comprende, you know, I don't know. Well, there was an enterprising young man who's standing there, and he said, sheriff, I speak Spanish and English. Would you like for me to interpret? The sheriff said, sure. Tell him that if he doesn't tell me where the money is, by the time I count to 10, I'm going to shoot him dead right here. So he speaks Spanish and tells that to the Mexican. The Mexican speaks to the interpreter, and he says, listen, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Tell him, listen, the money is hidden in the town square. If he will go down to the fountain and walk 25 paces east, he'll see a rock wall. The third stone in the fourth row, pull it out, and all of the money is there. Nobody knows where it is but me. The young man looked at him and said, nobody knows but you? He said, no. The sheriff looks at him and said, okay, what did he say? Well, sheriff, he said, I am a very brave Mexican. I will never tell you where the money is. You just go ahead and shoot me right on the spot. That's not the kind of interpreter that God wants us. God wants us to interpret the spiritual things to a lost world. And that's the commandment. As the Father sent me, so send I you, he said. I'm sending you out to be my interpreter. Can you speak spiritual? You can if you can talk about Jesus. You can if you can tell a lost world what Jesus Christ has done for them. You know, that's the message, the most valuable message that it is. And he entrusted it to me and to you. He entrusted it to us. He gave it to us. We are his choice to go and to spread that. You see, God's plan was to send Jesus. Jesus' plan now is to send us. Let's tell him about, tell this world about the resurrection that we experienced last week. Then Thomas also missed the power. In that 22nd verse, and it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he was saying. You see, Christians are to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're to receive the Holy Ghost. That's where our power comes from. That New Testament church would later meet one night in an upper room, and Jesus had told them, listen, you go and you pray and you meet, and don't you go out here to the world until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And they would meet in the room that night, and as the scripture said, there came a mighty rushing wind, and there was cloven tongues of fire came down upon them and set upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit to go out and to tell the world. You know, a church has got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, we depend a whole lot here on electricity. Electricity is running the air conditioning. Must not be running good. Some of you are fanning, but it's running the air conditioning. Don't quit. The lights are on here. We're able to see. The speaker's going. You're able to hear me loud and clear here. What if all the electricity went off? If all the electricity went off, we couldn't meet. We couldn't meet without electricity. But do you know what? If the Holy Spirit wasn't here, we could meet right on every Sunday. Every week, we could come right. We wouldn't be effective. We wouldn't be doing what God would have us to do, but we could meet. But the Holy Spirit is the power that keeps the church going. It's not the electricity. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in the heart of those members of that church who gather together to worship together. And the Holy Spirit is there in their heart. So what did Thomas miss? Well, Thomas missed, first of all, the presence. He missed the proof. He missed the peace. He missed the plan. And he missed the power. It was all there for him, and he missed it. Out in a little West Texas town in the 1930s, there lived a man by the name of E.L. Yates. E.L. Yates was trying to farm that Texas land out there. He wasn't having much success at it. He couldn't raise cattle on it. He couldn't farm it. He was just about to go bankrupt. He'd spent every penny he had. He was just about to turn that farm over to the bank and tell him, you can keep it. I can't do a thing with it. But then one day there came a knock on his door, and it was a man from the oil company. And he came and he says, you know, our studies indicate that we think there might be oil under your land. Can we drill here and see? And the contract was drawn up, and Mr. Yates was supposed to get every eighth barrel of oil they pumped out of that ground. Well, they hit oil, and they began to pump. And that well produced 80,000 barrels of oil a day. And they drilled another one, and it produced 125,000 barrels of oil. And right there on that farm that he had, that he thought was good for nothing, they drilled those oil wells, and it became the largest producing place in the United States of America in producing oil. He had it all along, didn't he? When he was out there in poverty, when he was out there thinking he was bankrupt, when he was out there thinking there's no way he's going to be able, and when he was out there just about ready to give up, he had it all right under the ground. It came when he bought the farm. That's the way we are. We've got it all available to us. It's there for us. It came when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. And now we need to capitalize on it. And now we need to take what God's got. And we don't need to miss out on a thing that God has got for us. Thomas missed out simply because he didn't come that night. He later recouped. He later came back. We know that. And later became very effective for Jesus. But he missed it then. Are you missing something God's got for you? Are you missing what he wants to do in your life? Are you missing the victory that he's got for you? Well, it's available to you. Just like Mr. Yates, you own it. It's there. You just got to drill it or mine it or let God pull it out in you and let God use you in a mighty way. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for the scripture that we've had. We thank you so much that we see the evidence here, along with so many other scriptures, that you are a resurrected Savior, that you do have a plan for us, and that, Father, that you love us. You loved us so much, you went to that cross, but, Father, on the third day, you were resurrected, and now you love us enough that you want us to go to heaven there with you and spend an eternity. We just thank you so much for that love, and we just pray, Father, that you'll just be with us during this time of invitation. We just pray that your will might be done through this invitation. And Father, we pray you'll speak to the hearts of those that might need to make those decisions, whether they be lost, whether they need to rededicate their life, whether they need to become a part of this fellowship, whatever it might be, Father, you know. And Father, we pray that they'll step out and say, we want to have all of the victory that Jesus Christ has got for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.